Robert and I met through a mutual friend who introduced us and thought we would click. I asked Robert out. It was July 7th, and we did the quintessential Evansville date. We went to Taroni's on Main Street, had pizza, talked, decided to grab coffee and then walk the riverfront, and then went back to my house and watched a movie. Classic first date.
And how long had you all been dating before you got engaged?
That is up for discussion. We're kind of fuzzy on the year. Roughly four and a half years. We got engaged in September of 2013.
Okay, and I'm a sucker for romance. So tell me how he proposed. I understand.
Well, because of my job and his job, we spent a lot of time at French Lick for various conventions. He knows it's a favorite place of mine. It's a place that the historical value is just immense to me. So his parents came into town ostensibly for us to give them a tour of West Baden. And we go to West Baden. I'm trying to give a tour. I keep getting interrupted. I'm rather annoyed, actually, that they're interrupting my tour. Robert goes to the front desk clerk and asks if we can see a room with a balcony overlooking the atrium. And they hesitated. I think he slipped her a 20. They let us in the room so his parents could look out over the balcony. And he and I went out to the balcony. And while standing there looking, he hands me something and says, "I think you dropped this." And it was a watch. And I said, "I didn't drop a watch. I don't own a watch." And he said, no, it's yours. Look at it." So I looked at it, and it was a very nice watch, and flipped it over, and it said, "Marry me." All the time, I had not realized his father was recording this.
Oh, my gosh.
And, of course, I immediately said yes and was stunned to find out that prior to my knowledge, he had packed my clothes. He had arranged several rooms at the hotel. He'd made reservations for dinner. He had contacted my boss and got me time off for 2 days, all without me having any clue of this happening. So it was a complete and total surprise. I spent the rest of the afternoon walking around going, "How did you, and did you, and what?" And I mean, I literally was stunned.
Did you suspect it at all?
No clue. We had talked about it, and I had broached the subject a few times, and we had both kind of decided that, you know, one, without any federal recognition, it's just marriage in name only. And that we were kind of wanting to wait till Indiana passed it, which would be when Hades froze over. Mm. But after the federal government ruling on Defense of Marriage Act came down and we realized we did have rights, that's what prompted him to do it.
And at this time, this was before Illinois had passed same-sex marriage.
It was before Illinois and Hawaii.
And your option was Iowa.
His family is originally from a far southwestern corner of Iowa. Think in Evansville in relation to where Iowa is. That's where he's from.
Okay.
Population 6,000. Hmm. So we were scheduled to be there for Thanksgiving. So we picked the date of November 29th, which Black Friday. We scrambled around to find someone to do the service. Justice of the Peace doesn't work on the day after Thanksgiving. The county clerk doesn't work. So we found a minister that was acceptable to performing it. And this is a small town, conservative town. So we had the wedding, then immediately followed with the reception there. Small reception, maybe 50 people, family, friends, and it was great. Loved it. We shipped my family, my sister, my mother, our bridesmaid, our groomsmen, all out with us on a field trip to the middle of nowhere.
Well, I have to say, you can't ideally get married wherever, but at least his family was in Iowa, which
right.
I understand is not the case for so many couples.
Coincidentally enough, though, the reason we chose Iowa is the residency is you only have to be there 3 days to vote, to register your car, to file for a marriage certificate. We've had a lesbian couple that did a similar thing. They flew into Iowa, stayed there for 3 days, got married, then flew to Hawaii for their honeymoon.
Oh.
For us, it just worked out that it was coincidental.
Mm-hmm. So you had the wedding ceremony in Iowa, but the reception was here back home.
Right. Well, you know, we had the reception in Iowa for his family and friends. And then, you know, we're from here. We're both politically active and involved with a lot of groups and charities. So we wanted to have a wedding reception for our friends and family and colleagues. We settled on December 6th, which in our shared history is now known as Snowmageddon.
That's right. The listeners will remember that. That was WNIN's big special snow coverage.
Not one of my favorite memories of the whole event. We had booked the hotel, booked caterers, booked cake, had a guest list of 180. And at 7 a.m. on December 6th, we wake up to ice, snow, continuing to fall. And that's when the panic ensued.
I'm sure.
We made frantic calls to the hotel. Could we delay? What was the penalty? What do we do? Do we cancel? Do you cancel? At around 9 o'clock on December 6th, we decided to go ahead with it. And that's when the phone calls and the texts started. Of the 180 guests, they started dropping like flies.
And I can't imagine for how much effort it takes to plan a wedding, how much forethought and money and details. And that whole day, you're preoccupied with making sure everything goes accordingly. And then to be getting a flurry of phone calls top of it.
As the calls came in, so did the increase in my blood pressure and stress. And I had probably what will be referred to as mini meltdowns that day.
Yeah.
We ended up with about 80 people showing up. It was funny. I have to laugh. I said, a good friend of ours works for the city road crew, been up 17 hours straight. He made it. The mayor was there, which was touching because that was the same week that the mayor had come out against HJR6 and HJR3.
Yeah, and you stopped him at one point in the night and thanked him for that. What did you say?
Well, as the mayor and his wife were leaving, I went up to him and said, thank you for coming. I said, I know you have every possible reason not to be here. At that point, the city was close to declaring a state of emergency. And I said, I want to thank you for coming and thank you for what was probably the best wedding gift anyone could have ever given me with your support to defeat that bill. Mm-hmm. Now, that said, there was a couple of city council members that were there as well, and they had previously also
supported
it as well. But for the mayor of the third largest city in the state, you know, to do that on the week of my wedding, it was kind of serendipitous for us.
This is the Weddingnomics show on The Trend. I'm speaking with Alex Jarvis, an Evansville business owner who married his husband in Iowa, but had the reception here in Evansville last December. I'm about to talk with him about his interactions with wedding vendors and the challenges he experienced in planning his elaborate celebration. So don't be a runaway bride. Stick around. So let's talk about all of your interactions with vendors and all the wedding industry experts, if you will, because we're looking at this from an economic perspective. What was that like?
In some ways, I think the wedding industry has set itself up as similar to the legal industry or the tax industry. You cannot figure it out easily on your own. Fortunately for us, because it was a same-sex reception, and that's pretty much unheard of around here. We had...
Speaking of which, is it the first same-sex marriage here that you know of?
No, I know of one other one where there was a reception and a few other ones, but I don't know if there was one of this scale. The hotel venue we picked, they were ecstatic to have us. They were happy to work with us. I think they even cut us a discount, particularly after the weather turned bad.
I can tell you that is not the norm.
No. They were honest. They said, we would like to get into this business of hosting these type events. So they view it as an income opportunity.
How did that make you feel, to say these type of events?
It made it feel politicized. But then again, as someone who works in politics, I understand the value of making a point. And you know, being trailblazers to an extent, but, you know, if it benefits people down the road, I'm okay with it. There was some discussions with Robert and I that it was becoming more of a political event than a wedding
and
reception.
And possibly an image thing for some businesses, it seems like.
We had, you know, multiple people want to be involved, cake people, photographers, DJs, wedding planners. You know, they were kind of, to an extent, throwing themselves at us discounted prices. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and that's a great benefit for us because we had never planned a wedding, and what we thought we would spend immediately ballooned to almost double to what we ended up spending.
Did you have any problems or any rejections from companies?
No, not a one. Not a single one. And you know, we used to joke that the people from the Westboro Baptist Church would be outside protesting, you know, and then I would know it was truly, you know, a marquee event. But no, there was no pushback from anybody we contacted.
Do you think that's, is that kind of the canary in the coal mine here of how maybe the general public feels about this?
Poll after poll has shown that the general public, one, feels love is love in Indiana, even considering what's going on currently. Secondly, it's one of those issues that it doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't feed you, clothe you, give you a job, pay your bills. I think the general public doesn't care. You know, if you want to be happy, they want you to, you know, you have the right to be happy. And that's what we've seen even from people who I know who are conservative elected officials will say, I don't care. My caucus cares. My party cares. I want people to be happy. So, you know, I think with the vendors, they saw it as an opportunity to tap into what could be a large revenue stream. So they were more than happy.
And tying back into today's theme, weddingnomics, and examining it from the lens of economics or the impact financially on our region, is it a limiting perspective to look at marriage that way, particularly same-sex marriage, because that is a common argument?
Not to knock Iowa, but Iowa is not one of those places you think of that you want to go to. You may have to, but you don't want to. In between our announcement and the wedding, you know, Hawaii became legal in Chicago. And I immediately said, you know, we could cancel all of this and just go to Hawaii and take the people we want to take and still save money and have a wedding on the beach. And it would be wonderful. Or we could go to Chicago. I think that Indiana's missing out on a revenue stream. I mean, our total price for the whole event, I think, was $12,000. And that's on
here,
the cheap end, yeah. I've been told. You know, there was no wedding dress. You know, there was no limo, right? Because we stayed at the hotel because, frankly, we couldn't go anywhere if we wanted to.
Right.
We were snowed in. But I think you would see, you know, more and more of those events if it was possible. And if I was in that industry, I'd want every access to every customer I could possibly get.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to me, it's, a, you know, if you're going to make, if you're passing up $10,000, $20,000 customers just because the state, I'd be a little upset.
How much was your wedding and reception in Iowa?
I did some checking, and I think it was about $2,200.
Okay.
There, so roughly about a $15,000 deal. And, you know, like I said, because of the way the situation is, we probably would have just had it here and had Iowa family come here.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, we had two receptions and a wedding spanning 800 miles, all within the span of a week.
Did you have any other hurdles as a same-sex couple that most people probably wouldn't have to go through planning a wedding?
Well, there's not, you know, I don't know about states where marriage equality has been legal for a while, but as we were looking for, you know, items and things to use for the wedding, we weren't finding them. You know, mm-hmm. we had to have a custom-made cake topper because we didn't want to go with the two cheap plastic grooms. So we had that custom-made. You know, there's no real protocol and order of ceremonies. You know, there's no, you know, bride's dance, no daughter, father-daughter dance.
Right,
the
right.
dollar dance, highly interesting.
Tell me, what's the dollar dance?
The dollar dance is where the groom gets out on the floor and everybody pays a dollar to dance with him.
Huh.
Quite a few of my coworkers thought it quite funny. I mean, I danced with more guys that night than I probably have in my entire life and probably ever will again. You know, so, but there's no history. There's no ceremonial past that we have to go on. So mm-hmm. we made it up as we went on our own.
Right.
And that was kind of interesting. You know, everything is gender specific. We even noticed that even the Iowa application for marriage, even though it's legal there, I think it was gender specific. So there's not a lot of infrastructure, not of supplies, not a lot of things you can purchase in this area, at least even online, that are geared toward the same sex marriage.
But seems like there's certainly a market for that now.
Yeah. I've even looked at exploring the possibility of, you know, for states where it's not legal, but where people have receptions, of creating some kind of, you know, how-to website. Uh-huh. The checklist was, you know, we had a checklist, and it said, you know, father and daughter dance, father and bride dance, mother and groom dance, you know, things that we just didn't do because mm-hmm. they didn't pertain to us. So it was different. I would say probably for everyone that attended, it was the most unusual event they'd ever attended.
Really? Why? Yeah. Why is that?
Just because it was a wedding reception, but it was different. You know, most wedding receptions, you go to the wedding, then you travel to the reception site. For ours, you know, we showed the wedding and everyone was already there, and then we made a grand entrance. But it was a little different.
Mm-hmm.
Even to me, you know, from being in weddings and going to weddings, it was just slightly different than what you would expect. I had a blast. We had a great time. It was a great ceremony. The brave souls that traveled through six, eight inches of snow amazed me.
Including, I was going to say.
We had friends in Greencastle who started at noon that day. At 11 that
gosh, their
did time.
Did they charter like snowmobiles?
I asked them if I, you know, during the course of all of the people calling, I started losing it and I was texting them. I don't care if you have to get a sleigh. I've spent a fortune. Get here. But friends from Greencastle left at 11 a.m. their time and got there 5 minutes before the event started. You know, the brave 80 or so some odd people. It was a blast. I think the homeless shelter got a lot of leftover food donated to it that night.
Wow. The end of the night?
Yeah. I think that's what the hotel did with it. We asked for them to.
Huh.
Because, you know, the food was already paid for. We had dinner for 180 people. So 180 people go to half. You have a lot of food left over and a lot of cake.
I bet. And I know you had 5 cakes.
We had 5 different types of cakes in addition to the cake that we cut for the ceremonial purposes.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not quite sure why we did that, but I ate cake for a week.
Oh my gosh, don't get me started. Well, my last question, I guess this must have been a first for many of your guests, I imagine. And do any comments or reactions really stick out to you? Something that you remember, maybe someone was moved or impressed by?
I have family members who, and I don't like the word redneck because it's a negative word, but I have family members who would probably be classified as that, who were there and their reactions made me cry. I mean, they said it was the most beautiful thing they'd ever seen. They were happy. We were happy. And they already knew Robert. Mm-hmm. They've known Robert for years. But, you know, people who I wouldn't have expected to be as comfortable were very comfortable and very welcoming. And it was a wonderful thing.